Stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker, which introduces you to episode 2 of Dr. Jason Richardson and his discussion about accountable care organizations and why physical therapists should care. But first, big shout out to our new listeners this week that have signed up and subscribed to PT Talker. Welcome to Tabani, Barrett, Thomas, Susie, Craig, and Vanessa. Thank you for subscribing, for listening. And please make sure you tell all your friends. PT Talker is the place for expertise, business news, tips, and tricks to help you be a better physical therapist. And now, stay tuned for Dr. Jason Richardson.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, you have tuned into the right place if you are looking for expertise in the world of physical therapy, because joining me today is our expert who was actually with us last week. Hopefully you got to hear him. If you didn't, stay tuned. I'm going to bring him back this week, but you can certainly go back and listen to last week's episode of PT Talker, where we were talking to Dr. Jason Richardson, who is the Vice President of Clinical Operations for Results Physiotherapy Centers in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Dr. Richardson, welcome back with us for your second time on PT Talker.
Thank you, Jeff.
It is great to have you back. There is just a wealth of information that you were willing to share with us, and I really appreciate it. Just real quickly, let's go over some of your credentials. You are a DPT, been practicing about 12 years. As in your role as Vice President for Clinical Ops at Results, it seems like you're looking out into the future, trying to position Results Physiotherapy to be able to deal with whatever changes might be coming. Is that fair?
That is very fair. That's exactly right.
So one of the things that you're hearing about, I'm hearing about, we've talked about it now a couple of times. A couple weeks ago, we talked about it with Dr. Scott Ward. We've talked about it with Fran Fowler, who happens to be a physical therapy consultant in our industry, about accountable care organizations. Just real quick, give me the 30-second update on accountable care organizations, then I want to ask you a question.
Accountable care organizations is a concept where the primary care provider is essentially the quarterback and coordinates care for all of that individual's enrollees for what care that they get or receive for their diagnosis or presentation clinically.
Okay, so, and right now the purpose of our show today is to try and help therapists who might be listening out there to try and figure out where do they fit in. So I thought maybe to get us started, I might just try and illustrate or have you illustrate what the way things may be coming versus how they're done now. If you could just kind of contrast for us a low back pain patient,
sure,
you know, heading towards surgery most likely, and how you think a physical therapist working within an ACO might show value for that low back pain patient compared to the way it's being done now.
Yeah, that's a great question. The intent of an ACO is to improve quality, improve efficiency at lower cost than the current paradigm. Well, low back pain is consistently in the top 3 to 4 diagnoses in terms of expense. And in the recent literature, it's also treated the most variable. In other words, in some cases, you've got orthopods or other specialists prescribing medications or doing injections. Others are prescribing physical therapy, and it goes on and on. Well, low back pain, as we know as physical therapists, isn't a homogenous type of diagnosis. So it's about looking at the clinical test and measures in your clinical presentation to determine what is the best treatment. Mm-hmm. So under an ACO, I would see that the family physician, who is the center of the ACO, will do an initial medical review. If they are clearly a non-operative case, they are then directly referred to a physical therapist where they're triaged. Now, you can write those inclusion and exclusion criteria within, depending on what school of thought you're using. But once the physical therapist does their examination, they may decide to treat treat and refer or refer based on clinical presentation. And under the ACO, more efficient coordination, getting the patient to the right providers and the right treatment is the key to efficiency. And right now, under the traditional paradigm, they're going directly to specialists or they're going directly into a series of initial medication trials, and then back to the family doc, and then perhaps a referral to a PT or another specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Under the ACO, they come directly to us, and then we can triage those musculoskeletal problems based on clinical presentation.
So I guess, Dr. Richardson, what I'm hearing, my goodness, is the PT is kind of the first line of defense instead of this last line of defense.
That's exactly
in an ACO.
That's exactly the way I envision it, because there's plenty of research done here in America and abroad that illustrates it's unbelievable the difference in how a physical therapist manages a case versus the traditional medical model. I mean, you know, everyone's heard of the Virginia Mason model, and that's just a microcosm. It's being done in large order in Australia, some of the provinces in Canada, the United Kingdom, and it goes on and on. U.S. Army model as well. These models are growing in momentum. They're not decreasing, and they're growing in momentum because of the efficacy and the value.
So in the traditional way, I might have MRIs, see a specialist, have some drug therapy before I ever got into a functional or a physical, where before I was ever referred to a physical therapist. Now you're saying none of that happens or less of that happens before going to PT?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There was an excellent article published in Spine is either October or November. And it was a cohort study where they looked at, I don't know, there were 300,000 to 400,000 claims that they reviewed retrospectively. And what they found, and they did a cost analysis on those that went to PT versus those that went through the traditional models. And they found that it's something, and I'm paraphrasing because it's been a while since I've read this, but mm-hmm. there were only about 30% of those claims that got to PT that were referred to PT that probably would have made significant outcomes. And that's so what that says is essentially we're only seeing in America about 30% of the patients that we should be seeing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now how do your colleagues, the other medical professionals, feel? I mean, do they think the same way you do, or does this study prove they're obviously not thinking that way? Can ACO change this whole thing?
Well, I certainly think that there are so many variables that are playing into the politics of this. But if we really boil it down to the intent, and if we are truly wanting to improve outcomes at reduced costs and stop referring medications and other potential surgeries that are doing more damage, then I think certainly we have to assume that our colleagues out there are wanting to listen.
And has that been your personal experience?
You know, it's funny. It is with some. It is with some. I think those individuals that, when I'm speaking from our own organization, those physicians whom we've had a collegial relationship, our clinics become an adjunct to their practice.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make their patients happy, by extension, it's going to reflect positively on those physician colleagues.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you could look at the profit motives associated with PT, you know, and many of those folks see us as a threat, but it's not a threat from the standpoint of caring for the community. It's a financial threat,
mm-hmm.
which is silly. So, to answer your question, it's viewed upon very positively by some and as a threat for others.
Right. Now, I do want to draw some attention to the blog that actually caught my attention, because that didn't seem to be that your blog, and I'll let you explain to our listeners what the blog was about, but in that case, it didn't seem to be – it didn't appear to me that would be motivated by profit, but some other, I don't know, allegiance or some other issue. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I've written several blogs. It's on at Jason Richardson's Posturist. So if you www.posturist.com/Jason Richardson. I think the blog that you're speaking about was specific to the competitive edge for ACOs. And the interesting point of view from that is the payers.
Yeah.
Payers are in a very interesting position when it comes to these ACOs because they have a lot at risk. If the ACOs are extremely successful, they could be squeezed. But the payers are in an incredible position to coordinate many, many specialists and are in a interesting position in recruiting enrollment into these things. So that particular blog on the ACOs that I think you're alluding to was from my conversation with the medical director of a very large payer.
Yes.
What was interesting in that case is that I presented the argument of how a PT can play a very integral role in reducing cost, improving efficiency, and what was said was that, well, I agree with you in this research and this presentation. I can't argue with that, but some of our surgeon colleagues are going to be extremely upset if we change this referral paradigm because they're going to be doing less surgeries, and it's going to hit them financially. And my argument was, well, isn't that exactly the point? If we can improve outcomes at reduced cost, isn't that the point? But that particular medical director, in the context of the ACO, was still interested or still not having a hard time comprehending
right.
how they're going to put this into play.
Right, which is certainly one of the challenges is that we're still dealing with a system that is controlled by humans who are probably, in some cases, averse to change. So it's probably going to be an uphill
sure.
battle for physical therapists. I don't know how you kept your jaw from hitting the floor when someone says something like that to you, or not just becoming belligerent. But anyway, I know you're a gentleman, so I'm sure that didn't happen. But what? And we just now have just a little bit of time left. Is there any final advice that you could give to any of our listeners out there as to what they should be thinking about ACOs, doing about ACOs, or doing in their own practices or professional lives?
Be persistent. And the thing that there's two things that I think we have going for us as PTs. If we can enhance direct access, or if we embrace direct access as professionals, and we then can take these patients whom we service and who come into our doors and going, you know, I didn't think this would work, and then they leave saying, I can't believe my back feels better, I can't mm-hmm. believe what you've done for my shoulder, I'm going to tell everybody. Those are cues. We need to pull our own patients in to become advocates. And I think that's the most powerful thing that we can do at the moment. Because if we get to the tilting point of where our patients become our own advocates, then the sky's the limit.
It's interesting. You are probably the third or fourth expert I've had on in the last 6 months who has really, really pushed that. That almost seems too simple. It seems very obvious. Let's get the patients behind us.
You know, I think to take, you know, PTs don't like to always put themselves out there and,
yeah.
and quote-unquote be salespeople.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some of the other healthcare professionals out there have evolved very strongly from just being that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can learn from that.
I agree. All right. Well, Dr. Richardson, thank you very, very much for taking your valuable time to spend a little bit of time with our listeners out there in PT Talker land. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, and we want to wish you the best, and hopefully you'll stay in touch should you come up with any more information on ACOs or, you know, any of your progress or you have a victory or anything you want to share with us, please feel free to let us know.
I certainly will.
All right. Well, everyone out there, thank you for listening. I do want to say thank you to our new listeners. We had a whole group, a physical therapy department at a hospital in Biloxi, Mississippi. So thank you for the fun email, the picture you sent, and how much you enjoy PT Talker. So I appreciate that. And I want to remind all of you that we will be happy to take your feedback at our email, which is feedback@PTTalker. Anything that I've said wrong that you disagree with, or you want to correct me on, or you want to share something that is going on that you think we should know about, please let us know. And I think that's it for now. This has been another edition of PT Talker. We're here each and every week bringing you business news, information, and especially expertise in the world of physical therapists, hopefully helping everyone to be better therapists. That means you've got to get out there and help someone get well today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.